Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Wow. Well, I am clearly very excited about this conversation because it's a great topic. And I've got a super, super guest who I've been speaking to quite a lot, actually, over the last couple of years. And his name is Stephen J. Manning. He grew a practically bankrupt marketing business into a $1 billion a year enterprise and over a period of 19 years. So, and he's been in business for decades. I'm not going to say how many, but a few more than I have. And we're going to talk about getting better with technology today. So thank you, Stephen, for joining me. I always enjoy speaking with you and you always share massive, massive value.
Likewise, and thank you very much.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So, I mean, I think we're all aware that you know, we can always improve with technology. You know, whether you are a PA, whether you are an executive at the end of your career, the middle, the beginning, you can always learn to be better with technology. And obviously, the younger people like to think that they are the best with technology, but actually I find that they are the most distracted. And that is, you know, I see people all the time. I go to the gym a lot, do a lot of weight training, and I see, you know, these young people basically just absolutely addicted to notifications on their phones. And this is because they fill your brain with endorphins. And I think that you are either in control of your technology or your technology is, frankly, potentially in control of you.
Two quick observations, then we can get something more meaty. You know, our parents told us that, you know, not everything is not for everybody. Hello, technology is for everybody, but in what measure, how, when, and why? Then it's interesting, the fastest age group growth in terms of internet use is 50 plus. Now, some people say that's a specious statistic because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Quick story, too. One, I was sitting with a number of people Super Bowl Sunday, overeating. Of course, we know much more about the game than the people playing professionally. Everything I said, I was the oldest person in the room because there were a bunch of 30-somethings in the room. And accomplished people, well-educated and all of that. And they always ask me the offbeat question, you know, because I'm supposed to know a whole lot of irrelevant stuff. And no matter what my answer is, they're immediately doing this. So I said, if you're not going to make eye contact with me, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And by the way, where did I get this rep that I'm making stuff up? Well, they're Googling that stuff. They've got applications on those phones I've never heard of. Oh, yeah, I've also created a number of mobile apps in my lifetime, in fact, recently. They are conditioned to do that. And I finally looked at one of them and said, am I boring you? Oh, no, you know he's right. That's how you say that in Russian. Really? Now, that's technology dominating those smart people. You know, it's an amazing thing. We've been in the tech world. I have been in the tech world twice as long as you because I'm that much older than you are. But I remember those massive steps, massive developmental steps. And I have to relate this because it ties into the message I'm trying to get through is I remember the first external interactive database I have ever seen. Now, we had internal interactive database, by the way, we didn't call it big data, it was billions of records. We didn't actually call anything blockchain. We had blockchain. We didn't actually call anything AI. We called it synthetic data. Try 1980. Okay? I was, I think, 12 years old. And then one of the uber brilliant people who worked for us came in and said, you got to see this. So he plops the terminal on my desk and said, this is an external interactive database. It's a vanity project between Sears and IBM. Okay, explain. Now, we were pretty savvy, technically. Okay, so you're going to New York tonight, yeah. How do you feel about a Chinese restaurant? Okay, click, click, click. Those are the best Chinese restaurants in New York. Really? An hour later, I was looking at exchange rates between the Indian rupee and the ruble, because it's interesting. 20-some-odd hours later, I called Philip in my office. I said, if you don't take this out of my office, I'm going to throw it through the darn window, because I just become totally incapacitated by this amazing piece of technology that is just blowing my mind, and I can't help myself. And then, of course, seems like days later, the kids in Wisconsin said, hey, you want to look at this thing called AltaVista? Oh, really? And then I saw the first graphic user interface enabled a browser. And then I had friends asking me, what is that green lip muscle called in New Zealand? Okay. Technology. Without it, you don't exist. And with it, you exist better if. See, I think that since we're talking to people at various stages of their careers, looking forward to more, different, whatever it is, I think that you need to, there's a curve. I call it the tech curve, because I'm not creative enough to come up with a really slick acronym. First, you look at your job responsibilities. You look at your potential for advancement. Look at the companies, where you fit in. Then you have the knowledge. You have to shape your knowledge curve. What do I need to know, and how do I need to use that knowledge? Oh, ergo, technology. And that's when you integrate your knowledge curve, where you're at, where you want to go. Integrate that with the technology that's available to you. And then you figure out what you need, how you need it, and where you need it. There's a second side to it, which is very often emerging technology will drive your creativity. Emerging technology will, if that's available technology, tell me, then I can manufacture the scent. I remember when we came up with scent strips in magazines. It was not creative, it's technology. Somebody developed this technology of dropping droplets of perfume on paper and sealing it. So when you pull it open, it releases perfume. Technology created the whole industry. But there are industries out there that do nothing but try to get companies to streamline the technology available to their people, because you become absolutely paralyzed by all that information. Same with information. We're about to do something called data literacy. Oh, I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. Not being a native English speaker, data literacy is kind of cool. But technology, oh my God. You people listening, forgive me. I was just talking to a moment ago with Nat, and I said, you know, I'm sitting in the car with my friend Eli. He drives a Tesla. How cool. Anyway, and as we're driving down the freeway, I said something really controversial because it's fun. And Eli looked at me and said, be careful what you say. Elon is listening. Okay. And then a Tesla told him he was going the wrong way. Hey, how's that for technology? So a couple of opening remarks on technology.
But it is absolutely true. And, you know, we are tracked and traced everywhere we go. And you know, as far as data and control of data and all of this stuff, that's very important that we take control of how we actually do things on the internet. And, you know, in your security department within your company, they're going to tell you, you know, don't click on links, don't do this, don't do that. But at the end of the day, you may even be banned from using language models like ChatGPT and Google Gemini, which was called Bard. And you might be banned from using those, or you might have your own internal models. And in fact, those can also waste time, because if you don't know how to actually brief them, if you don't know how to actually get out of that what you want, you are going to basically damage your efficiency and your productivity. So I think being very clear to what you want to achieve is very important, basically back to what you're sort of saying there, Stephen.
You know, we have to seize on AI because it's like it's a big elephant in the room that's really struggling to get out. I think that here's an old concept. Remember, AI doesn't exist without the seminal interface of people. Oh, you know, there's this massive machine getting smarter every minute and growing and growing, and it's taking over the world. That would be cheap television. What it does is just gets much better at indexing data, and it's absolutely deductive. If X is true, then Y may be true. Then it looks for Y components. It's a yes or a no. Oh, yes, good. We just added a little module to that quadrillion pieces of data. So there's many ways to use AI. I, because I fancy myself a raconteur and a writer, and I fancy myself as being out of the ordinary. Sorry about that. AI is really cool. Again, I was in the AI business in 1980, but right now, okay, so there's Gemini, and then there's what's called Copilot, because Microsoft is not about to be left behind. So what do they mean to me? Well, Copilot, AI, you know, Microsoft. That to me is one heck of a Google thing. No, it's a little oxymoronic, isn't it? My EI thing is a really good Google. Now, what does Gemini mean to me? If I ever write 200 words, 500, 1,000 words, whatever, and I can write 100,000 words using Bard or Gemini, then my friend and collaborator Nathaniel will look at it and say, there's no way you wrote this, and never talk to me again. It's cool, it's competent, and entirely unoriginal. I'm championing a cause. May I champion my cause?
Absolutely.
I would like all AI-generated content to be watermarked.
Yes, well, they are working on that for images, most certainly, and I believe that there are ways they will be able to start doing that with text, I believe, but I do think
You do know that AI can tell you if it's reading something AI generated. Hey, AI, ChatGTP or whoever. Here's a block of text. Was this AI generated? You'll get an answer.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, back to
phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, it's completely unbelievable, really, when you look at the images that can be created as well. But you know, everything that you want to do with technology, you can learn it, but you need to basically go back to practicing every day. Or regularly, what you actually want to learn. And if you don't know how to do something, then I suggest that you find a good mentor or some sort of coach who will help you to move forwards in your career. You know, because digital skills, according to the World Economic Forum in 2020, are the most sought after by employers, apparently. And the average adult spends 7 hours a day using digital media, but it's like that's according to Data Reportal in 2023. But basically, the amount of stuff that you can retain can actually be very difficult to retain all of this stuff because you can just waste time on technology. So I think spending time doing productive things, learning new skills, and embracing learning by doing, because learning by doing for me is the way to go. If you're just learning something without actually putting it in practice, then you're not really learning it, because by the time you've kind of thought you know how to do it, you probably don't know. So I think if you can get stuck into things and actually, you know, learn by doing, I think that is a great way to go.
I could not agree more. I also think there is a danger in having everything at your fingertips and being able to manipulate it. You know, at some point in time, it's like we all read and do and all that. Well, if everything is green, then nothing is green. You know, it loses relevance. So I think that there's a whole generation that it becomes totally insensitive to relevance and quality. As if we can all get that information, and there's so much of it, and just because you and I can talk about it, well, you know, there's a lot of other people can write about it too, because they have a computer. So I think that there will be an increasing gap between truly relevant stuff and ordinary stuff. Stuff, because it's an easy word to use, as I talk about in the title of my new book, I think that there are less and less and less compelling reasons to search for independent thought. Yet the greatest accomplishments in the history of the world, be that medical, be that learning, be that sciences, were people who were capable at least a germ of independent thought, and then they develop it therefrom, or so other people came behind them. If we all have the same access, we do the same thing, our thinking becomes a keyboard and a flat screen in front of you. So I fear, I hate to use this term, there's a dumbing down here's an oxymoron, a dumbing down at a much higher level of knowledge and expression. I think that if you try hard enough and if you work at it, you may be, in fact, be capable of some level of independent thinking. I prefer that when you have that idea that's like eureka, oh, I never thought of this, put that in the little box called, I just had an independent thought. There might be 2 billion people who know that already, but it's new to you. That grows your brain, much like doing curls grows your biceps. And so just, I think that's my take, an additional take on what you said.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it all depends on what you want to do. I mean, for example, if you're struggling to get out of bed in the morning, it might be helpful to have an alarm, which then has, when you turn it off, then you set it up so that you have a light bulb that comes on in your room. You might decide that you want to have a detector for your mother-in-law. Every time she arrives, your drapes close because you don't really want to see her. So, you know, there can be all sorts of things that you can do. My friend actually did that. And it's possible. It's possible by literally just investigating these things. And I look at learning about technology and embracing technology, becoming better at it, like a child would have fun with a new toy. That's how you need to embrace your learning, and you need to explore things that you really are excited about. And for me, I find the whole thing fascinating. You know, when you can brief an AI model and then it will create an image for you, or it will help you to come up with a list of points that you want to use for writing a blog, and it will help you to maybe make your blog writing better. I'm not talking about your blog writing, Stephen, but excuse me, but I think there is a place for everybody to use technology to make their jobs better, you know, communicate with their workers better, communicate with employees, communicate with your peers and your team and all this sort of stuff. But I think that all comes back to the human element, because in communication, if you are not communicating in a polite way, in a positive way, you have to be very careful that you don't upset people. So yes, there is all this amazing technology. Yes, you can get better with technology and, you know, you can enjoy it, but never forget that you are still a human. And if you are using technology to communicate with other people, then you must use your brain a little bit, maybe put an emoji in there or something, just as an example. You see, I think technology is an enabler. It's an enabler to get things done. It's an enabler to make things faster and more accurate and everything else. But I mean, you might decide, well, actually, I mean, I going to the gym, for example, you might decide, well, actually using an Excel spreadsheet for me on my phone is better than paying $10 a month on an app, which is going to, you know, I don't want to spend $10 or $50 a month when people are going to have my data and all this sort of stuff. So you might find that you've got notifications, too many notifications on your phone. And then for some reason you push a button and you turn off all notifications by accident. And then you miss an important call, just as one example. So I think there are many ways to embrace technology, but it all goes back to, like I said, I can't stress it enough. It goes back to, what are your goals? What do you need? What does your job need? What do you need to do? You know, there will be certain people that you want to be able to message you. Like Stephen can message me pretty much any time of day and I will see the message. Most people cannot message me because I don't want to hear from them, because they interrupt me and my train of thought. Because anything that interrupts your train of thought, it has been proven that it takes, I believe it's twice as much time to get back to what you were doing. It's something like ridiculous. If someone interrupts you for like 30 seconds, it can take you perhaps 5 minutes to get back to what you were actually doing before you were interrupted. And think about that in terms of a waste of time and resource within your life and the business that you're in. That's why I just say to your friends, look, if you want me urgently, you can get me, but don't do that all the time, because I'm going to mute you and then you'll have to wait until I actually pick up the phone and then respond. And you could say to them, use a different channel, as one example. Like if you email me, I'll pick it up within an hour or two. If you text me, I'll get it straight away. So just be very mindful of everything that you're kind of doing. That's my advice, really.
I want to tell you that yesterday morning I met a really cool lady and we were stuck in the same environment for an hour and 45 minutes. And I finally said, she wanted to read more about something I wrote about a hamburger joint that happened to be across the street. I wrote a piece, which you read. I said, here, put your information on my phone. Now I'll email to it. And I said, wait a minute, before you do that, I could be a bad guy, you wouldn't know it, with a really good job. But I promise you, I'm not gonna abuse the privilege. Meanwhile, my phone goes off around 4 a.m, about 5 days a week, with one of my friends who gets up at 4 a.m, LA time, and she just feels compelled to send me a note because she knows I'm up. And every once in a while, I call her later. I said, I hate to tell you, but I got up at 5. So you can abuse the privilege. But there's something you said a moment ago that I just seized on, how technology is an enabler, without a doubt. But it can be an enabler to better things, to more technology in the right hands. A simple little example, and I could be dating myself by maybe 6 months here. I don't know. One of my associates drives an automobile and he can hit the button on his fob. And as long as the engine temperature is warmer than the temperature inside the car, no matter where the car is, it will pump warm air into the car. So it's snowing and freezing cold out. He's been sitting someplace for an hour. He can walk in the car and it's nice and warm. Okay. Very cool technology, I think.
Yeah, that's cool.
My friend decided that's just not cool enough. That piece of technology is enabling him to to pursue something that he thinks is absolutely brand new and novel. Maybe, I don't know. His thinking was, this could, as long as the temperature inside a parked vehicle in a snowstorm is cooler than the engine block, pumps air. Now when they equal, because it'll happen, it's cold out, thing will start on its own and the heaters will go on.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
And not only that, but it's going to run for an extra until the temperature inside rises by 12 degrees centigrade. In a snowstorm, your car starts over there and it's going to be a sauna inside. How is that for enabling technology to grow? Feeds on itself in the right hands. My friend is perfectly capable of making that happen for a whole lot of reasons, unless, of course, he discovers that he's spending a lot of money and time, it's already being done. Because without a doubt, there are 200 people getting dressed early in the morning in the bathroom thinking about the same thing. Among them, there's somebody is listening or watching this show. Says, that's a good idea. I'll go do that. They have the time, the resources, the perseverance to go do that. And then my friend had this brilliant idea. I'll get to say to him, oh, by the way, you can buy that for $312.
Yeah.
Okay. There it goes with Gary Project.
Absolutely. But I think the potential for this is amazing now. I mean, you can sit there and you can use ChatGPT or Google Bard, whatever it's called, Gemini now. You can use it as a coach. Sometimes I use it as a coach. If I'm absolutely stressed, I can go to Google Bard or Gemini. If I can't, or whatever, you know, ChatGPT, and I can use it like a coach. So I can, you know, instead of calling my dad, who's like 90 years old, he's amazing. I will speak to ChatGPT. I'll be like, look, I'm having a really bad day. I'm overwhelmed. This is my problem. Da, 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 da. And I tell ChatGPT, I say, look, and you are an executive leadership coach, and you know exactly what to say to me in very few words that's going to help me to maintain my composure, as an example. And I get back the most amazing insights. It is unbelievable, yeah? But I do think that it's really important. I can't stress it enough, to maintain a healthy balance between technology and real world interactions. And we've talked about this. And, you know, like I say, I speak to a lot of people, and I think it's very important to take the time to just de-tech yourself, and then get a piece of paper and a pen, write down a list of things that you want to do, and then take that and say, okay, now I'm going to go to the technology. Because if you turn that tech on without thinking, what are you going to use it for? You waste 2 hours or 15, you know, it's unbelievable.
It's quicksand.
Yeah,
it's endless.
Because it's designed to be like that. It has teams and teams of people who are there to keep you addicted to the lighting, the colors, the screens, the applications. Retention is what they all want. So I think it doesn't matter what job you're in, doesn't matter what business you're in, it doesn't matter what hobbies you have or what house you live in, you can improve your life, what car you drive, you can improve your life with technology in all areas. And I think you just need to do the research. And that's something you're big on, Stephen. And you've made me realize that research is absolutely fundamental. And like, I mean, I've been looking for a car, right? So I'm buying a car. I've been looking for a car. And I found out so much about cars from doing this research that it is unbelievable. But everything you need to just take a break from and step back and come plan for the end in mind, right? I mean, that's the key, isn't it?
I hope you all listen to us, watch us. You'll see some recurring themes there about doing homeworks and then research. Yeah, become a shameless researcher. Now, one comment about what's out there, because without a doubt, I certainly know I can become absolutely paralyzed by data. It's just endless, and I get lost, and I want more and more and more and more. I can get paralyzed by technology. Ooh, I can also do it that way. It's paralytic. It just is too much. I don't think the human brain can comprehend the ability to do all of that and do it well. And then I just go back to a couple of basics. You know, the old saying, cheap is cheap. Quality is forever. So I said, in terms of data, and here you'll forgive this, it's kind of a bit odd. The way the culture is running is more is better. I say no. I say better is better. There's a qualitative difference. How about getting lost in some really cool, relevant stuff? The best you can get, the best research can get you, the best personal relationships can get you. Don't discount the phone. Don't discount that one email. You know, Nathaniel and I might exchange X emails a day. We live 9 hours apart. It doesn't matter. It's a 24-hour day for us. And I promise you, if I'm a little unsettled with something I'm doing writing, I know who to call, and I'm shameless about it. You know, in my line editor for much of what I write, she and I share a life together, my wife for many years. She's just that much smarter than I am. I run a lot of stuff by my other computer, which is Schooler here, because he has a set of sensitivities that I don't have. And he has a knowledge base in some things that I don't have yet. Perhaps I never will. Don't have to. He's gracious enough to show me the path. You know, and there are some people around the world that I correspond with and I talk to who bring elements to my thinking that I can ultimately get from technology. But I say this, if I'm going to try to be really good at some things that Schooler does, 10 years from now, technology will get me to be a talented beginner. I can never catch up. First of all, technology is galloping at a rate. There's no social, human, legal infrastructure to support it. It's way beyond that. What are you going to do? You try to catch that? No, catch the parts of it that really make sense for you. As Nathaniel said, make sense for your job, in your profession, in your life. That's where you bring technology into the fold. And yes, sometimes technology will give you dimensions you don't have. I didn't know that existed. If that exists, I can't do that. Fantastic. You're moving forward. Everything we do here, the many talks we do 2 a week, 3 a week. They're all designed for one thing, success for successful people, listen, watches, and of course, our continued success.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Stephen. And thanks so much, everyone, for listening to this talk. We do lots and lots of talks for bookboon.com, as well as all sorts of podcasts and interviews. Thank you for engaging with us and also our writing as well. But all of our expert audios and videos are packed with hardcore facts and directions, so you can make use of starting today for a more successful business and personal life. So if you want to get me, you can get me on LinkedIn or via my website, natschooler.com. And also check out the influentialvisions.com technology-focused podcast. That's on all major channels. You can reach out to me anytime by email, which I'll put at the bottom. You can read all about Stephen and his writing at stephenjmanning.com and much on all other major channels. You can also check out Stephen's agency work at fymc.com and do have a look at the Our Clients tab for some of the many globally leading enterprises in the portfolio of clients. And you can obviously reach out to Stephen by email, which is sjmanning@fymc.com. And please know that I offer all this with my best wishes to you for your success in life and business. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.